Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell your mortal enemies about all this, because this is something that needs to go down. Really, this is something of utmost importance. This affects all of us. This affects every single living soul. Really, this is killing people. It's 9 o'clock here on the dot, and you are listening to Cocooning from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one and only. Believe me, there will not be another one. Now, we invite you to call in. What are you thinking? We'll tell you what's going on in radio land, but you tell me what's going on in your world. You tell me. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. All right. Now, all right, you are talking to the one and only DJ Butterfly Feast. Well, actually, you're not talking. Where are you? I want to hear from you. Let's talk. All right, now, start from the beginning. If you're just joining us, you should have been here a long time ago. We're really doing something in here. Here I was basically, there I was living in McKinleyville, California. That's my hometown, McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way. I was living there. I was basically, I did everything there was to do there. See, it's in Northern California. It's where it snows. You can sled, ski, snowboard, toboggan. We also have a beach there. So you can sun, you can surf, parasail, windsail, and boogie board. You can do all that. We also have hiking trails. You can take long walks, and you can ride on horseback. You can do all that in McKinleyville. McKinleyville has everything going on. Now, we've basically been all over on our expedition, but I'm telling you, McKinleyville was an epic place, honestly. It is a place of grandeur. Got it all going on there. All right. Anywho, I was the kind of guy who really was basically telling myself I didn't want to be one of those guys who basically, you know, he tries to go to college, find some high-demand skill that becomes his whole life, all he's about. It becomes all there is to do. You know, all there is to do is basically this one, what's the word I'm looking for here? This skill, this job, that's all there is. You know, that's all he does. He just works and works and works, and he never sees the sun. Doesn't do any actual living of any kind. You know what I'm talking about. But more and more people are trying to do that because that's the kind of world we're living in. I thought, I'll take any job as long as I get to stop and smell the roses. Honestly. All I got to do is basically just do some living. Really. And I coasted by. I got C averages in school. I did all right. I did the bare minimum. I went through school, but I really wanted to enjoy life. That was going to be my mantra. Instead of trying to work so hard to prove you're important, do things that are important. Do some living. Well, I got to tell you, things got a little hectic. Hectic whatever. Because, see, I finally graduated. That's when I left high school. And I knew guys who basically intentionally didn't want to pass their senior year because they didn't want to graduate because the moment they hand you that diploma, the moment you walk out of high school, childhood is over. You out there know what I'm talking about, don't you? You can't not know what I'm talking about. It is a terrifying thought. It is more than just a little scary. But it's something we all have to face. I didn't try to go that far, thankfully. I didn't try that hard. And the truth is, there I was, honestly. There I was. I graduated. What was I going to do now? Well, I thought about going to college. But the thing is, if I didn't have the money for that, I wasn't one of those guys, the most advanced grades, the college is just going to let me in, you know. Any college lets you in as long as you got the money. I didn't have the money. We didn't have that.
But I said, it's okay. I'll take any job here in town, live any place, as long as I can stay in McKinleyville. Honestly. Well, guess what? Yeah, you figured it out. Oh, boy, you guessed it. The truth is, oh, God, I kid you not, there weren't any jobs or any places in McKinleyville to go to. There weren't. Why? Well, the thing is, McKinleyville has it going on so much that people want to stay. Visitors come here and they want to set up shop. Those that are born here want to stay. They never want to leave. I told my parents all about that. But even my father was on me about, how do I put this? How do I put it? My father was on me about, you know, people leave town, he told me. People, not just here, people all over the world, they stay in a place, they move away, they go to a place where there's another job waiting for them, where there's work, where they can find a place to live. Sometimes they have to leave town, they have to leave the state even to find someplace else. Things are so bad here in America, people are leaving for a new job, a new life. I'm not kidding. It's a problem. It's a real problem. But it's part of life. And you know what? It's part of your life, too. Now, you need to make a decision. I did. I stayed around the house for a while, hoping something will come up. Things were bad. Everywhere. For everybody. It's murder. Everybody was busting their ass, and it wasn't even helping all of them. Some of them wound up homeless and without means anyway. Truth is, I don't know, there was destitution. I basically sat back there thinking, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know basically in a way how to get by. There I was, basically, I just sat in my room. Now, you know, I got the name DJ Butterfly Feces because this is true. I had a radio show before this on Blog Talk Radio. I wasn't a DJ spinning discs. I was one of those people talking about, you know what's wrong with the world today? It would be a better world if we just, one of those soapbox rent people who knew the secret to making it a better world but needed other people to join him, to follow suit. You understand? But anywho, what happened was I failed to realize that people just weren't listening. Now I wondered, do a lot of people listen to Blog Talk Radio? I mean, it's really easy to listen to the basic radio. I don't know if anyone listens to terrestrial radio anymore, but everybody knows how. You turn it on, be it in your car radio, your alarm clock, or the one in your shower. You know, they have that. The truth is, I was without means. I was basically a guy who was unsure what to do. I didn't know what. I did my basically time on the radio, whatever. I don't think anybody listened. I told my friends to listen and tune in, but I don't think they knew how. How do you listen to Blog Talk Radio? You can listen to it when it's pre-recorded, but how do you listen to it live? How do you do that? Anywho, truth is, I was feeling angry. I was feeling frustrated. I was. It was tough. I didn't know what to do. Eventually, my free time expired, and I was without means. My father finally sat me down and told me he wanted me out. My father said he'd let me stay as long as he did, because the truth is, he didn't want, because if I left, he has to talk to my mother. And he didn't want to do that. He liked having me around as a bumper. It was help that kind of kept the family together. But the truth was, they were tired of the sight and sound of each other. They didn't have the energy to leave. They didn't have the options. They didn't have a lot of options. And at the same time, there were people who were basically, you know what I'm talking about. They kept me around because otherwise they'd have to talk to each other. They didn't want that. Anyhow, the truth is, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. He said he wanted me gone. I packed my stuff. I left with the clothes on my back and a backpack that wasn't half full, and I walked out of the house. I looked back for a second. I thought, is this really it? It was starting to sink in. Am I officially a homeless person now? I heard all about them. I heard that it happens to people. I heard about it on the news. I heard about it in all the everything. But to actually be without a roof over my head, I can't survive like this. Few people can. I didn't know. I walked through Hammond Trail. I walked through it, through Hammond Dam Trail. And I've walked through it so many times before, but this one I felt like was different. I'm a homeless person. I'm homeless. I'm without a place to live. I don't have anywhere. Then I came across some people. I came across some individuals who basically seemed to be without a place to live themselves. They were vagrants. They were at the campsite. And I remember thinking, dang, I thought I knew everybody in town here, but these guys don't have a place to stay. They're new. I should meet these people. I'm one of them now. I went over and said hello, introduced myself. And the big guy, the really big guy, the big African-American gentleman, kind of introduced himself. He said, hi, I'm Comedy Organic, okay. And he told me all about how, you see, he was a philanthropist with money who was going around doing this charity goodwill work. He was picking up garbage and helping the homeless get off the streets, helping the homeless with their means. At first, I wondered if he was telling the truth. But he explained he was funding this whole trip with them going around picking up garbage and helping homeless and blah, blah, blah. And the truth is, I thought to join them. I wanted to join them. I wanted to join. It was true. I wanted to basically be part of all this, and he invited me to come along with him on his trip. I said, my parents just kicked me out. And I'm around the holidays, no less. You know, the end of the year, when people are celebrating the year. He's like, dang, well, you want to come with us? Want to help us pick up garbage? Want to help us help the homeless? Want to join us? Was I going to say no? I mean, he said he'd basically help fund this trip, take care of me or whatever. I signed up. I explained my name. I told him my name. He said, no, dude, get down on one knee. I did. I wonder why he wanted me to kneel. Do you want me to propose him or something?
Hey, CC, this is kind of organic, okay. Excuse me, everyone. Stop doing that. I'd ask you to get on one knee and do anything like that. Okay? Don't do that, man. Don't pass that mumble, whatever you call it. No man had no man get on his knee and do anything degrading like that. Have any, you know, dignity about himself, humility, all them things. You can make it be whatever you want it to be. But that's not the norm for everyone. exceptional people do that. I wouldn't do that. That's not in my style. Not in my grace. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say, come on, CC, put them knee pads on so you get to work. You're going to be in here pitting up different shelves and items in the store. No. Oh, this is a feces story. But don't put me in there tomorrow. You're on your knees. No. No knees. In that capacity.
It's 9:15 here on the program. Cocoon from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces and Comedy Organic OK. All right. Tell us what's going on with you. What do you think about this important crusade that we were on? We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. I was dubbed DJ Butterfly Feces. Wasn't crazy about the name. I was a bit hesitant. But who was I to say no? I thought these people are going to help me. They're going to take me aboard something. And later, right before the end of the year, we went all the way to Vicenza, Italy. For their New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We saw how they celebrate New Year's. They do a little bit differently than we do. It's a beautiful country, and Italian food in Italy, you can taste the difference. Before I knew we were on a worldwide trip. Now, listen to our last show. We were in Sydney, Australia, and there we were, still there. There I was, basically, once again, we had helped some of these people, but I was still wondering how we could do more. You know, how could we help them more? Because I don't think we're helping enough. I don't think that I wanted us to do more. I sat back, okay, how do we help more, okay?
Tell them, how do we help?
Okay, let's see. Picked up a lot of garbage, and I marched over to basically... I must have missed the joke. Once again, picked up a lot of trash and whatever, and I noticed you know, for the biggest city in Australia, they didn't have quite as many homeless people there. Only 1% of them is homeless. They call it sleeping rough over there. That's what they call it. And the truth is, really, it was a damning thing. I thought, basically, you know, there's not as many homeless people here. Maybe we can basically solve the problem right here and now. I went to the home. Went to the housing officials, those who helped the homeless. I tried to tell them we had picked up all this garbage. Sure, they can use some of that money to basically get some of these homeless off the streets.
Hey, you're getting too deep. Close that weapon of destruction.
Yeah, I think that's what they said to me. I basically said, come on, we need to help these people. We're here to help them. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, that's why we came all this way. We've done some good to them. We want to help them more. But the question is, how? And then I said, can't you basically take a few more homeless people, whatever? You know, a large number of them are living in basically group clusters, you know. They're all living with a lot of roommates, whatever, all pulled together, whatever. Hey, you know what? Maybe we can make it so even more of them are. Get that 1% off the streets so they're not sleeping so rough no more. You know? That's something. That is something. But really, honestly, they didn't seem to be so into listening. I tried to convince the housing, basically, to take in a few more of them. They were hesitant, but guess what? They finally did it. I kept pleading my case. I kept pleading that they said the homeless problem isn't as bad as it is basically in the States. That they know. They could hear from my accent that I was from there. I tried explaining to them that I was on this crusade myself. They were asking me why I was doing all this. I explained. I was trying to basically help. That's what we came here to do. Heal the world, so to speak. I know it sounds kind of sappy, but really, that's what we're trying to do here. And the world needs healing. It's messed up. It's beyond messed up. There I was, sitting around. I tried to basically talk to some of the homeless people and ask them if they'd be willing to live in group communal sort of, you know, whatever with one another. A few of them were a little hesitant about going to a homeless shelter. I told you about that guy who basically took some pride in being homeless. He was enjoying living off the land and all that. Some of them were afraid their stuff would get stolen. Some of them weren't sure that they could wanted to do what it took to maintain a place in the first place. That's how they get you. They give you a home, and they give you money by making you a slave, one of them told me. I mean, dang. Dang. At one point, I came across some of the homeless, this collection of homeless women. You know, there's always less, you know, there are women who are less homeless. They're less homeless women because women have a lot more options to be able to provide for them and yada, yada, yada. Anywho, the thing is, they were all sort of together. I asked them to join, but they seemed to be too afraid. They said they didn't want to leave the clusters. They basically, you know, the truth is, they basically were a collection. These homeless women were basically kind of girlfriends among themselves. They had their own little sort of homeless villa. They were together. They were basically together. Just them. And they were afraid to have men around. Men who might take advantage of them, violate them, or at least see them at their worst. Women don't want you to see them when they're really bad off. Women don't want men to see that. That's the truth. And I asked them basically if they wanted to join, wanted to come aboard to this thing, get off the streets. They said, yeah, but how long would it last? Well, even I didn't know that. I mean, dang, I had to ask, dude, I mean, I know this thing was some kind of solution, but it wasn't permanent. You know what I'm talking about. You know. These shelters, it's supposed to be just a branch you hold on long enough to grab a hold of the next. Was there a guarantee that they could get a job, maintain their place again, and something wasn't going to happen? They're getting kicked out in the street like that? Was there hope? I basically said, we picked up a great deal of garbage. Can't you use some of the money that you guys used to that to basically get some of these people off the streets, keep them sheltered and whatever? And they said, no. And they said, no, look, we pay people to clean up the mess person, whatever. It's good that you did that, but you're just basically doing their job. You're taking money out of their pocket. Kind of hurting the system this way. Now I was really frustrated. I didn't know what to do. There I was, without means. There I was. All I could think about was the fact that I wanted to help. I wanted to do something, but what? I mean, really, what could I do? I was basically at the end of my rope here. These people aren't working with us. These people, they don't want to help us. They don't want to help their own. I mean, in a way, they were. Once again, dude, only 1% of the population in Sydney, Australia, was homeless. I mean, you know, this was a system, a society whatever they got, they're doing something that's working a lot better than it is over here in our country, America. Now, I know I'm not trying not to get too political, but come on, dude. It's the point. I've been to other places. There's a place that something is obviously wrong. They're doing something right. They're doing something we're not doing. Whatever we're doing, our thing is not working. We need to stop doing it. If it's not working, we need to stop now. I don't know. Truth is, I was just frustrated. I remember thinking, okay, what do we do next? What can we do next? What can be done? What can we do? What can be done? What, back there? Sort of frustrated. Really furious. Eventually, I thought about all the other things we had done. We had tried to put up, you know, give people houseboats and build housing pods. And once or twice, we had even basically tried to get people, like, RVs, maybe cars, something they can live in, you know, something like that. Once again, the homeless population, the problem wasn't so bad here. It was not. But the truth was, we still needed to do something to fix this problem here before we do it. It's like the problem here isn't so bad, but it still exists. What to do, what to do? I don't know. There I was, completely without means. There I was. I was frustrated. I said, why do we come all this way? These people, they're not trying to, even when they basically are having things, they're not trying to help. They're not trying to fix things that are wrong. They want to keep this problem going. We were trying to convince people. People they threw out on the street were people, too, that they need help, that they were worth saving. But it's like seeing something that somebody threw out. You know, the people who collect that stuff, collect junk or whatever somebody throws away. How do you basically convince somebody to try to salvage something somebody threw away? I knew that basically our work was far from done. I could feel it burning inside me. I wanted to do something. You've been listening to Cocooning from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one and only. You can pick up all our shows off blogtalkradio.com, and we invite you to get involved with the cause. Please. It's of essential, vital, crucial importance. Please, the homeless problem affects all of us because any one of us could be next. This problem needs to be stopped at the source. I want to thank you for getting involved, those of you who do. Thank you, and good night.